This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas with, me by myself this evening, Stephen Lang. Thanks so much for listening. I'm feeling very pumped after listening to a bit of AHA. And we have a really amazing lineup of guests this evening, actually. We've got the gorgeous Rosie O'Sullivan from Britain's Got Talent. She is sitting next door, ready to come in. We have Tamer Hassan on the phone, who people have been talking about quite a lot recently because his daughter, Belle, was on Love Island. So lots to chat to him about. He's been doing the rounds. And also very exciting, Karen Hauer, formerly Clifton, from Strictly Come Dancing. She is going to be on the phone chatting to us about the new lineup, which I am very excited about because we've got some amazing names lined up. You've probably already seen them. We've got the likes of Michelle Visage, Jamie Lang, Annika Rice, who obviously, as a gay man myself, I'm very excited about. And then there's some people, you know, I haven't heard of them. I don't know who Viscountess Emma Weymouth is or CBBC presenter Karim Zoral. But, you know, I'm sure, like last year, I didn't know anything about Joe Sugg. And, you know, he's all over the press now. So I'm going to get on with the show because I'm not used to just talking to myself. I'm usually used to Lizzie berating me or telling me my opinions are wrong. Straight to my face. So I wanted to give a little shout out to my nephews Hugo and Jax, who are listening this evening. Hi guys. And I've got a little song to play for you. If I can just move it into place, here you go. Hope you enjoy it, and tell your mum what you think, and then she can text me.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. Diving round the clock.
You're listening to Foo Bar Radio. It's Mark Raylan and Lizzie Candy with you right through till 1 o'clock. And we are in the presence of
time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. See what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone, a someone, a someone.
There you go, Hugo and Jax. I hope you enjoyed that. Mummy just texted me to say that you thought I could speak back to you, Jax, but I can't hear you. Okay, so sorry about that. We have our first guest in the studio, the gorgeous Rosie. I was going to say Rosie Sullivan. Rosie O'Sullivan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're good. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
BGT Alum.
Yeah.
That's what you can call yourself,
BGT Alum.
Is it a bit weird?
It is weird.
Yeah, because it was 6 years ago now, right?
Yeah, like, but the 6 years have absolutely flown. I still look back and think, oh, it was only a couple of years ago, but it wasn't. It was 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and a lot's changed in your life since then, hasn't it?
An incredible amount has changed. It's been a whirlwind, but a really exciting one.
What have you been up to?
So after BGT, I left. I've written 2 albums. And
pretty good going.
I know, yeah. I hid away, wrote 2 albums about all sorts of things. And I've been had a big weight loss journey.
Yeah, big weight loss, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you look at the pictures, it's kind of...
It's weird.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really...
Really impressive.
Yeah, even sometimes I look back and think, oh gosh, that was me, and like even my family are like, how they can't. I'm such a different person, but my personality still stay the same.
Though. Yeah. How did you do it?
I had a gastric sleeve operation because I literally was obsessed by food, and I just thought, well, I wanted singing for the rest of my life, and the way I was going, it was purely was a health decision. I wanted to be on stages for the rest of my life, and the way I was going, I just wasn't going to get there. So that's why
quite
I did
a weird
it,
thing
really.
To have to think about, though, right? Like, you know, your mortality and your health and all these things, and you're just trying to live your life. And I don't know.
Yeah, it was a bit of unfortunate. I was big all my life, and to be that big and be on stage, and you're kind of running about the stage, and you're getting all hot and bothered. So yeah, but I feel
these are Beyonce fans on you at all times.
Literally, yeah. So, but I feel so much better now.
Yeah,
so.
I bet. So how much did you actually lose?
I think, well, it's about 16 and a half stone. So it was an incredible amount. Mm. But and then came with it all the kind of, it's not just a weight loss journey, it's kind of a journey of personality as well. Because yeah, sometimes I still look in the mirror and still see that kind of big Rosie. And
you're not, because exactly like you said, you haven't changed in your head.
No.
You're still the same person.
Still the same person.
Do people react to you differently?
No, they still actually like treat me. I've always had a really big personality, especially with my friends, and they still treat me like an app. They think I'm a dope. I'm not a dope. But like they're really, my friends are great. They loved me then, they love me now, kind of thing.
Yeah. Nice that I assume you can buy nicer clothes and things that you actually want to wear now.
It's quite nice to be able to walk into a high street shop and be able to like pick something up off the hanger and think, oh yeah, it fits, not have to order it online and think, oh, what's it going to look like, kind of thing.
And does it change your voice or anything like that as a singer?
Well, I don't think it I feel it hasn't changed my voice. I think it's probably given me more soul and a lot more things to sing about, and a lot more emotion because of the journey and the. It wasn't an easy journey, so all the highs and the lows of it have probably just added to the soul and the kind of. To the soul of my voice, really.
Yeah. So explain a bit about the music and what you've been doing. And you said two albums.
So I've written two albums, and I released my first single a month ago now. And it was called, my first single called Take Me As I Am. So the music is, it's pop R&B based, but you've still kind of got that soul kind of, I've got quite a soul-y voice, mm-hmm. and you still get that through it. So they will carry on being R&B, poppy style. Just good, easy listening pop songs. You turn it on, and within the first kind of chorus, you want to sing along with it. Quite power ballady, Kelly Clarkson-y, Adele-y, Alicia Keys. So, yeah, they carry on like that for the. That's the first album. And then the second album, I've got a huge influence in Motown. I absolutely love it. So, there's lots of Motown vibes going through there. And then there's like four songs that are just piano ballads that are really quite heartfelt, and so there's a vast amount of material there. So I'm hoping to get it all released over the next couple of years.
Well, it's a challenging industry, isn't it? Music. How have you found it? And has Britain's Got Talent had a detrimental effect, or has it been positive, or what's?
Well, for me, it's been quite positive, because before Britain's Got Talent, I literally was just a university student that worked at the Co-op in Birmingham. And I went on Britain's Got Talent as a kind of a... It was a knee-jerk reaction. We went as friends and we turned up at Britain's Got Talent. They all kind of said, no, we're not doing it anymore, and they left me standing on the stage. And then kind of 6 months later...
Why did they do that?
I don't know, because we were all music students. So we were
just like, no.
Pretty talented. But they ended up in the audience and I ended up on stage. So 6 months later, I was a singer then. I was going... People knew me for who... What I did was singing. Yeah. I was going back to Birmingham and they were going, oh, that's that singer off Britain's Got Talent. And before...
They might not have known your name, but they definitely recognised you.
And before nobody knew who mm-hmm, I was, so mm-hmm. it kind of put me on the map, and it gave me that chance to meet songwriters, singing teachers, producers in the industry, so I could get all of this material done. So it's been great as far as I'm concerned, but they say it takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
Yes, I've heard that.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, because there's very few people that gain success without having to work really hard at it. Yeah,
very hard. But it's constantly going and going. But it's been an absolutely incredible journey.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. What's been your favourite part about the whole thing?
I think my favourite part has been meeting all these different people. For instance, yourself, Mimi, who sat over here. All these incredibly lovely people who were all in the same journey. And the best part about it is this: I absolutely love singing.
Yeah.
I love standing on the stage. And the best part of it is standing on the stage and watching people's reactions and watching them have a good time. And it makes you feel so nice. You look at them and you think, I'm providing you such a good time.
That's
priceless.
Yeah, definitely.
Thing. So yeah, I think that's the best part of it.
What about the worst?
The worst part of it is driving home from a gig at 4 o'clock in the morning, looking at the time and the M6 is shut. It's always shut in Birmingham. Always shut. Like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and you're thinking, I got to get up in 3 hours to go to Glasgow or somewhere else. Thinking I've got 3 hours sleep. And I'm working on Costa Coffee kind of thing.
I
think that's the worst part. But yeah, you catch up with sleep in the weekdays, and yeah, you could become pretty nocturnal.
Yeah, but yeah, I can imagine, like an owl.
Yeah,
a little night owl. what when looking back at BGT, what kind of stands out for you as your biggest memories from it?
My biggest memories are standing on that stage, and I was so nervous. They dragged it out to the end of the day. It was the last audition of the day, and the tubes had stopped running, and I'd only been in London for a year, so I was like, well, I'm not going to have enough money to get home because the tubes stopped working.
The things that producers do not think about.
Yeah, they don't. And I'm like, I haven't got enough money to get back from the London Palladium in a taxi kind of thing. I'm going to have to camp out here. And then I remember standing on the stage and singing, thinking, oh gosh, this is nerve-wracking. And I didn't actually want to look up. And the four judges are in front of me. And I just looked up, and this sea of people, including all four judges, were just on their feet. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, it's gone well.
I've just got Simon Cowell standing on his feet, clapping for me.
Not an easy feat.
No. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. But it is a bit of a process, isn't it, being on the show? And you know, you go in and then you're kind of fired out of a cannon at the other side and that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
Was it hard?
It was hard. It was quite strange, but you literally are fired out of a cannon, and then at the end you're like,
bye.
So what do I do now? Yeah. But luckily I was in that position where I was gigging after, because I was a music student. I went back to university to finish my degree in music, and I was putting myself out in the places to gig and to meet producers and songwriters and things like that, and to start kind of collaborating with people. So even though I did get, everybody does just kind of get dropped unless you win, but it wasn't so much of a case because I'd got myself involved in other people.
Yeah.
And the vocal coach off Britain's Got Talent now, I still see.
Oh, really?
Annie Williams. Yeah, I see her twice a year. Even though I'm a singer, you still have to have singing lessons. So I'm still kind of in the loop and still got kind of my claws in there.
Yeah, yeah. Are you still in contact with any of the other people that you were
just in contact with? Annabelle Williams, but she's incredible. She teaches on she's vocal coach for X Factor, Britain's Got Talent. So yeah, right, she tends to give me lots of advice.
That's
and
nice.
Like that. So it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. What did you make last year? I've forgotten the guy that won. What his name was? He's 92, wasn't he? The guy. Did you watch it?
I did. I was saying to Mimi earlier, I don't actually watch that much television, but I did tune in and I saw the old man.
Chelsea Pensioner, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he deserved to win. It was heartfelt, and it made such good. He was talented, and it made such good entertainment, and that's what them shows are about.
Yeah,
making
definitely.
Entertainment. So, yeah, I think he deserved to win. But it's always a shame. There's these people that like. Get through the first couple, and you make your bets with your family, don't you? You go, they're going to win. Bet you they win. And then they get kicked out, like, after 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But they were the best. They were the best. And you still think about them. They should have won. But
it's difficult with Britain's Got Talent as well, isn't it? Because it's like there's so many varied people and types of acts and stuff. Yeah. You never really know what's going to capture the public's imagination.
Yeah.
Were you nervous about performing and people not liking it? Or
I was nervous about performing. Really strangely, I was more worried about what they thought of me as a person than actually my voice.
Okay.
But I kind of knew I could sing because I was at university doing it, but I didn't actually know that I could make it as a singer. I just thought I'd kind of just sing in a band of a weekend and then work in a shop the rest of the week.
Right.
So it was then, it wasn't until Britain's Got Talent that I thought, right, I'm going to make singing my career kind of thing. That's what I want. I think I was more worried about them, what they thought of me than my voice, really.
What do you mean, you like your personality?
My personality.
Right, they found you really annoying.
Yeah, or like my size and things. I'm a very... I take people's opinions on board, I think, too much. That's what Take Me As I Am, my new single's about, is taking people as they are, and embracing people, because everybody's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a really boring world if we all looked the same.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
And I think that's what I was mostly worried about, is people... just kind of...
Is that because of something, because of how you've grown up and people saying things? And
I think maybe. I was never... Yeah, people's opinions really matter to me, and they always have done.
I'm
and
the then same.
I got to a point...
Take it on board.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and I thought, well, some people's opinions now matter to me, like your mom's and your dad's and your family and the closest people around you and the professionals that you trust, but... Yeah, some people's opinions, you just kind of go, you take them on board and you just carry on.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes I let them bog me down and things like that. And that was what the song was about, Take Me As I Am, just taking people as they are.
As we all should.
Yes.
What's been like the benefits of kind of losing weight to you personally? Like,
so the benefits of it is...
You just feel better. I can't really.
Yeah,
I've lost
better.
A little bit of weight myself, but obviously not. Yeah. I mean, that's a substantial amount.
I feel better. And when I was a big girl, I wasn't shy, I always wanted to lose weight. Mm. Like even as a 12-year-old kind of thing, I was still big. I mean, I'm 6 foot tall. I'm really tall. It's made me feel so much better. It's made me feel like I don't have to... Sometimes I still do hide, you know? Before I came here this morning, I put, like, 4 outfits on. And then I thought, well, I'm going on a radio show, so nobody's actually going to see me.
It's a good point. We did have a little picture outside, so yeah. Someone might.
I still kind of... I think it's going back to that what people think about me thing again.
Yeah.
The losing weight, it just made me feel a bit better about myself. And I can actually move around the stage now and... like not get out of breath. And I mean, last year I went to Nashville twice on an airplane to sing on on American TV.
Amazing.
And it was incredible. And I did some recording over there, over in Nashville.
Home of music, isn't it, Nashville?
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
I bet.
Have you been?
No, I haven't.
Gotta
I would
go.
Love to.
It's incredible. Literally, like every bar, there's another band in. And there must be about 200 bands all playing at the same time.
That's
down
a lot
the
of noise.
Yeah. When you're outside, you're just not really, you're a bit, yeah, blazed.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and things like, if I hadn't have lost that weight, I probably wouldn't have been able to travel to America. I probably would have had to, yeah, it's always awkward. You always used to think, well, oh, I'm probably sitting on the person's lap next to me when I was big. Now I'm not. I can just slip into a seat and go kind of thing. So, yeah, I've been to so many places since I've lost weight. I've seen the world. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm pleased it's going so well for you. That's really good.
Yeah.
We have your song lined up, ready to go, Take Me As I Am. Thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And I hope it all goes really well.
Thank you.
Here is Rosie O'Sullivan with Take Me As I Am.
I can understand you no more. Oh, you said I was the one you were looking for, and now you're trying to change me for sure.
And on the phone right now, we have Tama Hassan. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Really good. Yeah, yeah. You've had a busy old time going around talking about your daughter, haven't you?
Yeah, very busy. A bit too busy for my liking. I mean, I've been in the business many, many years, many decades, as you know, and I've never been so busy.
Is that the case?
Just goes to show you the power of
Love Island
reality TV.
Yeah, yeah. What have you made of the whole thing? And now it's all over. You can probably say what you really think.
As a father, I am so happy it's over. I don't have to sit there sort of watching the TV with one eye closed. I'm happy it's over. I'm very proud of her achievements and how she, you know, conducted herself. She see herself proud. She see us proud. Mm-hmm. And you know, in our eyes, she's a winner. So, and now it's over to you, Bel Hassan, to go and run the treadmill of fun.
Yeah, what?
Put it that way.
Have you given her any advice?
I quite like that quote, run the treadmill with fame.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Not a bad
you
one.
Can, you can have it.
No, I'll give it to you. It's yours. Say again? What was that?
What's it been like watching her, you know, become famous, basically?
Blossom. Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, listen, I'm still dad. It doesn't matter what I've done.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday I spent the whole day running her around gifting shops and being bossed around like a chauffeur.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of walking into these girly gifting lounges.
Oh, nice.
Just the weirdest thing ever for me. I mean, listen, we used to do gifting lounges years ago, premises and stuff, but walking into a girly environment with, you know, her managers and her, I was kind of just chauffeur, driving her around for the day because, you know, at the end of the day, her feet haven't touched the ground. So for me, it's a little bit of a treat to spend the whole day with her. Now it's got to the point where if I want to spend time with my daughter, I've got to be the chauffeur and the bodyguard.
Yeah, yeah.
To play dad, you know what I mean? But I'm really, listen, I mean, it's all new to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting a bit frustrated. She doesn't know, you know, where she's going and what she's doing. And literally she's calling me frustrated. Dad, this is driving me mad. What am I doing? And I went, sweetie, you've been out a minute. You'll get used to it. Don't worry about it. So we're still kind of, as a family, constantly on the phone to her. I'm ringing, you know, the management team, checking in. And I've actually put myself on the group WhatsApp so I could see what's going on. And then she'll call me. And then, you know, I'm kind of playing dad manager.
Yeah, you're a manager. I like it. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not getting involved in the management team because Dave Reed's a friend of mine and he's the best at what he does.
With Dave Reed. I know Dave Reed.
He's a beautiful man. He's an old friend of mine. We used to party hard back in the day.
Okay.
He's so happy that I'm now. He said, he said some parents just ain't got a clue and they're panicking. And he said, I'm just so happy that you're here just to make things all right and explain to her what's what. But the team, Neon's doing an amazing job with her. They're keeping her busy. And I'm just kind of umbrella-ing it.
Does she know what she wants to do next?
She wants to do makeup. She wants her own swimwear brand, and she is pressing my buttons for a singing career. So that's kind of there. I mean, look, prior to her going in, Dad used to do stories of her singing, and I'm the proud dad, and the only time I can actually get people to listen to it is if I'm sneakily, recording her, but she's kind of grown in confidence now.
Okay.
And, you know, we kind of get in the car. I've got like a carpool karaoke with my kids. As soon as we get in the car, from when they were little babies in their little chairs at the back, in their little baby seats in the back, we were singing as a family.
Uh-huh.
So, but she's got an amazing voice. She's very raw. She's not a pro singer, but she's got the basis of becoming something really special. She can dance, sing, act. She's got all of it. So for me, it's like, you know what, sweetheart? Find what your niche is. Find what you're passionate about. Find your way. And then I'll do everything I can to, you know, open doors and support you and guide you the best I can. But predominantly, her thing's makeup.
Right.
She wants to open a... Because she teaches as well before she went in. I mean, she is a phenomenal makeup artist.
Mm.
And she wants to open an academy, bless her. She wants to set up an academy. She wants to set up Makeup by Bel. And she wants to do sort of lingerie, swimwear, and a clothing range. And
blimey.
She's literally been inundated. You know?
Covering all bases then, isn't it?
Yeah, she is. And you know what? For me, when I first started in the industry, it was or a director or something. You can't do it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always kind of been, well, you can do it all. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely whatever worth trying.
Huh?
Definitely worth trying, isn't it? Putting your hand to it, see how it goes.
Absolutely. It depends how hard you want to work and how much you want to commit to things. I'm always been brought up with the lowest hanging fruit, you know, just grab the lowest hanging fruit. No point getting the ladder, climbing up the tree and grabbing the apple at the top of the tree when you can reach up and get that one.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, life's changed, people's changed, careers have changed, the industry's changed, you know, a lot of actors are now sort of directing, starring and producing, you know, so why can't she do makeup?
Yeah, definitely.
Sing and do the whole lot, you know.
And you you went out over the weekend, didn't you, with her and Anton?
I did, yeah.
How was that?
That was peer pressure. That was the women in my family.
What were they saying?
Me to go in. You're going in. I'm like, I don't want to go in, but you're going in.
Why did you not want to?
Oh, it's just not a bit of me, is it? I did my bit for her, I supported her, and then all of a sudden, you're going in the house? I'm like, no. And then all of a sudden, my mum and everyone's like, you're going in. I'm like, but do I? You know, if you've got little chihuahuas like me, when you tell a chihuahua off, they kind of walk, their shoulders drop forward and they walk looking back over their shoulders. That was me all the way to the airport.
Right, okay.
All the way to the airport because of the dominant women in my family, you know, you're going in.
The way of the world.
The way of the world.
Best to listen to the women in your life.
And the women should rule the world. 100%,
I agree.
We always mess it up. That's for sure.
Definitely true.
So, but you know what, saying that, even I spoke to my team and I'm like, do I really need to be going into these reality TV shows? Do you know, all of them, LA, New York, all of them just said, listen, you're a dad. Just go in. You're a dad. So even my team was like, get yourself in now, go and see your daughter. Go and be a dad and terrorise Anton a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The banter between me and Anton and the family was kind of nearly got bigger than the show in the
yeah
press.
Yeah, definitely.
It was quite funny.
It was interesting. But what do you make of him as a?
I like the kid. He's a lovely boy. I really do like him. He's very respectful. You know, he was raised right. His mum and dad done a great job with him. You know, he stands in front. Yeah, he's been to the house. You know, they had their date at my son's restaurant. The gallery bar where they went to, and it was like, Dad, come down. I'm like, what do you want me there for? You know what I mean? Like, just come down. So I kind of let him have their dinner, and I went over and just said hello, met him, and I put my arm around him, and he was so happy. We've been on the drive, and me and Tamar's okay. But genuinely, I really am rooting for them too. I really am rooting for them too, to get it right. The distance, I think, might be a bit of getting used to. But
yeah, of course. Do you think he might move?
Yeah, I think so. I think he really might have to. You know, in this business, you go where the work is, don't you? You don't sort of sit around unless you've made it and you're an A-list, so you can live anywhere in the world because life's easier for you then. But, you know, these kids are starting off and they're going to find their way in what they want to do, and you have to move where the work is. As actors, we travel around the world.
Yeah, of course.
We go and live in different countries for 3 to 6 months at a time. So, yeah, I think it'll move. I think they'll work it out. She's really into him. He's really into her. But I think they're kind of treading carefully. They're treading easy. They're finding their feet. And again, I genuinely like the boy. His mum's funny. His mum's a character.
Right.
You know what I mean? His mum's a right
character.
You know, and he comes from a great family. We've got us. He's a family boy, very respected. And I genuinely like the boy. Well, I really do. Honestly,
awesome.
I really do.
That's great to hear. I can't let you go without just briefly mentioning Game of Thrones. You played the role of Carl Forza, didn't
Carl
you?
Carl Forza, yeah.
How was that whole experience for you?
Tough. It was tough. It was.
I bet.
I actually was up for season one. Nobody ever knew nothing about it. But I kind of had a name at the beginning of that. And it was like they didn't want any names in it.
Right.
And now watching the series going on, I understand why. Because I think they wanted the audiences to engage with the character, not the actor.
Right, yeah.
And they sort of had one person in it. But it kind of went, I read for it a few seasons and then that one come along and it was an offer and it was lovely. But I did not envisage how difficult the Dothraki language was.
Oh my God! Yeah, I can imagine.
It was horrendous. And then when you've got all the other guys that have been there for like 5-6 seasons that have got it down to a T, and you're sort of there, and they're telling you, you got to get it right, you know, because the fans will know.
Yeah,
if they find you out, you're in trouble. So it was a lovely experience. It was a wonderful experience to work with those beautiful actors and to be on a show as big as that, you know, and to be one of the Carls. was a great experience, man, but it's just that Dothraki language. It was so frustrating because, you know, it's now a language.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a mix between kind of French, Arabic, Turkish, you know, and
bit of Welsh, I always thought. It sounded a bit
of Welsh, exactly. There's a bit of Welsh in there, you know, but, and they use really bad swear words in English.
Yes, that's
well.
True, yeah.
So, and I kind of said, what's that? And that's what's happening. They said, it's a C word. I went, the Dothraki used the C word. And that was the bit that I couldn't get my head around.
Yeah,
you know?
Bet.
You know, they're using sort of, you know, London curse words,
yeah.
Which was kind of a bit bizarre. But listen, I went and did it. It was an amazing experience. You know, it's only a little bit in and out, but, you know, just to spend, you know, a few weeks on that show and just watching that unfold and working with those great actors was a phenomenal experience. I don't know if I'd do it again, though.
Really? Why? Because it was just too...
Dothraki language.
If you could speak English.
I think if I had another offer on that show, it'd have to be, can I have a couple of months? At least before, you know, pre-season.
Take classes.
Get into it, rather than just sort of giving... Because the hard thing is they can't give out scripts. They just give you dialogue.
Right, yeah.
Because the show's so big. You can't, not like any other TV show. You get the scripts, get the episodes. Before you're even on set, you know what's going on. But this one, they can't. You just get a page. And then sort of on the day, you get sort of like a little backstory of what's happened and what's going on. So you kind
That's
of
insane,
piece it together.
It? Yeah.
But yeah, and literally it's that. But an amazing experience, you know, and I'm very grateful and thankful for that experience for HBO to give me that chance. And
yeah, awesome.
You know what? I would do it again. Of course I would. Why wouldn't I? You just got to get on with it.
Preferably
in English, yeah.
All right, Tamer. Well, thanks so much for speaking to us. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime. Pass give my love to Lizzie.
We'll do. I'm sad she's not here. But right. When she's back, definitely.
Lots of love, guys.
Thanks so much.
You.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Sip of this and a hit of that. I'ma have everything on the rack. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And if you give me everything I want, baby, maybe you could be the one. We can kick it, we can have some fun. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Baby, don't you fight it. Close your eyes and swipe it. Maybe I could be with you. If you buy me diamonds and you keep me smart, and maybe I can be with you. Oh, I want all my clothes designer. Oh, I want someone else to buy them. Yeah, if I cannot get it right now. Tonight, you better hook it up at the place I like. Gotta make it fit like the perfect size. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And if you give me everything I want, you go from none to number one. Yeah, you're so cute, yeah, you're so fine. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Baby, don't you fight it. Close your eyes and swipe it. Maybe I could be with you. If you buy me diamonds and you keep me smart, and baby,
absolutely obsessed with Kim Petras, which is lucky because we're running a competition here at FUBAR to go and see her. If you want to go to her sold-out show in Heaven, go find the post on Instagram where the competition is. Tag a friend and make sure you're following FUBAR and Kim. And each new tag that you put on the post is an entry. So get commenting and maybe you can go see Kim at her sold-out show. We have our final guest on the phone, the absolutely gorgeous Karen Hauer. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for speaking to us. It must be kicking off busy time. Strictly is back now, officially.
Yes, it is. I've actually been, we've all been in the professional rehearsals now.
Right.
So it's been a pretty intense 2 weeks already.
I bet. So explain to those that don't know what happens in these early stages.
Well, so when, for the last 2 weeks, actually, for the first 4 weeks of the July 31st, we started only with the pros. The rehearsal was only with the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting ready all of our professional numbers and, yeah, and then at the end of the month, we meet the celebrities. But right now, we're preparing all the numbers that you guys see at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And, so it's a pretty intense time for us.
I bet, yeah.
Definitely.
Your brains are full of all new information and things you've got to do.
No, definitely, because every day we get a completely different choreographer. So it's a different number, and we have to adjust to the different styles. And, because it's not only ballroom that we're doing anymore. So it's contemporary, or different choreographers are bringing in their own amazing ideas. So it's going to be an amazing series.
Yeah, definitely.
All the things that we're doing now are exquisite.
Wow, that's exciting. I can't wait to see them. Obviously, there's already been the full lineup is now announced. The final one was Annika Rice yesterday. Are there any of the men that have caught your eye you might like to be dancing with?
Well, you know what? I'll make my pick when I meet them
when
personally.
You see them. When you see
right
them
now,
walk
I
in.
See pictures. when you see them, you know, in person, then and you get to, you know, to see how they act and mm-hmm. how they feel and how they're, you know, how if they're comfortable with themselves and if they like to dance. I mean, obviously, you want to get someone. I always like to get someone who just wants to have fun and actually work hard and, mm-hmm. and be in the show. But yeah, I've yet to start. You know. I'm so busy right now with all the choreography.
Yeah, I bet. You haven't had much time to think about it.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, all the pros, we're all talking about, you know, who's come up and you know, what heights they are.
Yeah.
Because that's the main thing. It's like, oh, are they tall enough? Are they going to be short enough?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to be where? But we're all really, really excited with this lineup.
I can see you with David James. I'm calling it now. I can see you. I can goalie extraordinaire.
That'd be great. No, I think he's tall, though.
That's all right,
really,
though,
really
isn't
tall,
it?
Isn't he?
Is he?
He's like 7'12".
that would be exceptional. That would be taller when Jeremy Vine was on the show. Jeez.
Well, I know, because Jeremy Vine was really tall when I danced with him. But I think he's taller, isn't he?
I'm not sure. I actually wasn't aware that he was that tall. But in my mind, I can just picture the two of you together. I can see it.
Okay. Well, I mean, all right.
We'll see, I guess.
I'll let him know you said that.
Do you know who the one I think is going to be the one to watch, though? I think it's going to be Jamie Lang from Made in Chelsea. Because
you know what? You know what? That's the thing. Because I danced with Mark Wright from mm-hmm. Howie.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. These guys are, like, hardcore. They are very focused.
And they work hard, yeah.
And they work hard. They're very, you know, I mean, because when I first met Mark, I was like, oh, he's going to want to just look cute.
Yeah,
and, you
yeah.
know, and actually, no, he's a hardworking man. And I think, but that's the thing. It's like, once you go on Strictly, it's the discipline. Nobody wants to mess around anymore. Everybody wants to work hard because at the end of the day, you want to do good.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you go on the show to do good, not to, you know, get kicked off on the first week.
No one wants that, yeah.
Nobody wants that, but it's a very special show to do.
Mm.
And it's the adventure that you go on.
Yeah, and last year you did pretty well with Charles, didn't you? You came in
sixth. Yeah, that wasn't that bad, was it?
Yeah, I was very impressed. He kind of really came on as well. Like, he developed.
You know, the first couple of weeks we were stuck at 25.
Yeah.
But no, it was, again, it's it's just getting to know your partner, but also getting them to be comfortable with mm-hmm. being in the, you know, showing new things to the public. I mean, he was an actor, or he's still an actor, but it was him getting comfortable with himself and with me. And I think the breakthrough for us was our street dance, which I absolutely
which was
loved.
Incredible. I can remember it. Yeah.
It was so much fun, but it just loosened them up, and it was like, I was so proud of Charles because he was so down, because, you know, you get into a rut sometimes that you're like, oh my God, am I improving or am I improving? But at the end of the day, what you want to do is you want to inspire and you want to give a great show for everybody that's watching at home.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I've heard before that a lot of the times, once you get about to halfway in the show, is when the celebrities can really start to flag, because they've been training really hard for like 6 weeks doing something they've never done before, and they don't know what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. Is that actually true? Is it a bit like that?
Absolutely. I mean, it starts getting really exhausting. And, you know, every week these guys are getting new information, and then we're getting, we're pretty tough on them. It's a pretty stressful time as well, because you only get about 3 to 4 days to get a routine ready, and obviously if these guys have a job, if the celebs have a job as well, and, you know, family life, and, you know, it gets pretty intense, because we have to train them for at least 8 to 10 hours to get a really intense, you know, putting all the technique, the character, and get the musicality behind it, the costumes, everything has to be on point. So, you know, it gets pretty stressful, and sometimes injuries happen. But, you know, you try to take care of one another as much as you can. Obviously, getting home, getting, you know, therapy, getting massages, getting into that bathtub with, you know, Epsom salt, eating well. So you try to guide them and coach them in a way that, you know, they're an athlete now.
You're a coach,
and you have an athlete with you that you're guiding through a very specific thing, that physical thing. So it is very intense. But it looks fun. And the beauty about it is that Saturday, when everybody sees the finishing line, it's you know, everybody's seen that finishing product, that everybody's happy and everything, but they haven't seen how much intense work has gone through it. But that's the beauty of it, you know, because at the end of the day, we just want to give a great show.
Yeah, of course. I think probably what I imagine one of the biggest problems would be if you just didn't particularly gel with someone, like that you've been partnered with. Has that ever been a problem for you?
Personally, no. Actually, I'm still friends with all of my partners, and I love them all. I think they've been great and a great part of my journey on Strictly. Yeah. But I've seen before when people don't get along. But at the same time, it's one of those things that, you know, you have to blend with one another no matter what. At the end of the day, it's about the happiness and the fun behind it.
Yeah.
So it would be a real shame if you don't get along. I mean, if you're coming on Strictly, you're coming on Strictly because it's such a loved show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't want if you get the wrong professional, the good thing is that all the professionals are fun and they're at the top of their game. And you know what? I think everybody's friendly, everybody's cool.
But it hasn't always been like that at Strictly, right? There's been rumors before about stuff backstage, about a bit of awkwardness and stuff. Is that not the case anymore?
Not for the past 8 years I've been there, and there hasn't been anything that I've seen. You know, you're always so focused on taking care of your celebrity and making sure that they're okay, that whatever else is going around you is, you know, you probably hear things here and there, but I've never seen anything or
just
anybody
get on
not
with it.
Along. But yeah, you just get on with it. And again, at the end of the day, it's about making that Saturday night show the best. And it's always the best. It's always fun, and it's what people wait for.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's such good TV.
It's
Strictly
time. Yeah,
100%.
And it leads up to Christmas.
That's the thing. Like for now, like, for people watching it, it's like, well, Christmas is right around the corner, isn't it?
Because I know. And then it's some time off for us, because I haven't had time off in about 7 years.
Oh God. And there was a story going around about how the decision to get Motsy as the new head judge has caused some friction because of, obviously, she's OT's sister. What have you made of the whole thing?
No, listen, I think she's absolutely fantastic and a great addition to Strictly. Mm-hmm. You know, she was on the, she was head judge on the German show, and yeah. she judged OT there. So it's you know, it's never been a problem for any of us, and it's not going to be a problem at all. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. You know, I mean, we're going to miss Darcy.
Of course.
Darcy is, you know, she's a gem. A beauty for us, and she actually joined when I joined the show.
Oh, is it the same year?
But yeah, it was the same year that I joined the show. And no, but I think literally, I think Mutsi's going to be awesome. She's a great dancer, a great judge, and she's going to kick butt. <That's>
I wonder if actually, because people will be watching her so closely to make sure she doesn't overmark OT or anything, that she'll probably be like,
you know what,
on the other direction.
I think everybody's going to be watching everybody. You know what, their eyes are going to be on all the celebs and how, what if you're going to step on the wrong foot or not. But it's such a beautiful show, and it's such a you know, everybody wants, you know, there's so much attention on the show. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the eyes are always going to be on the celebrities, and yes, they're going to be on Mutsi, but I think she knows what she's doing. She's a veteran. She knows exactly what she's going to be watching and what she's going to be scoring. And, you know, but at the end of the day, we're going to be, all the professionals are going to be working hard to make sure that all the celebrities are just on top of their game.
What's the hardest thing about doing Strictly?
You don't sleep.
You're absolutely exhausted.
Literally, like, you dance, I'm dancing. It's like Murder on the Dance Floor.
Literally.
No, you know what? The hardest thing is, you don't have a, you know, it's hard. It's just a job that's just like full on. You know, you don't have time to stop. And that's the sad thing sometimes, that you spend so much time, like, you know, creating and stuff, that you forget to enjoy it. And
yeah,
just live
I bet.
In the moment,
and you just move on to the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess one of the things that I need to do this year, even more than any other year, is just stop for a moment and go, wow, I'm lucky to be doing this job and to be on the most amazing show with a great team around me.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I would tell all the celebrities that are going to be doing it, that don't worry about looking, you know, like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. Do I look stupid? No, you don't look stupid. It's okay. We all look stupid.
Yeah. Just relax. No,
yeah, you just have to relax and literally enjoy, because it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they're going to absolutely love it.
You do one of the things that I think most people as well would find a struggle, and you work with your ex. How do you kind of negotiate that? Is it all right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin and I have worked together for the past 8 years, and we absolutely love working together. We started, obviously, rehearsal started last week, and it was like, we're really good mates. Mm-hmm. We're dancing together. There's a lot of, the nice thing is that we don't have partners that we're dancing with all the time. We switch partners around.
Yeah.
So we all get a feel for everybody else. And but no, with Kev, I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm so proud for all the things that he's been doing lately. And but no, for us, it's never been a problem, and it will never be a problem. Yeah, we're really cool.
That's very
it's
lucky.
It's like a new breed. It's a new breed. You know, most people think that we'd be like, oh, I don't like it. No, not at all. We laugh. We're you know. It's all the things that we were always friends.
Yeah. No, that is nice. You know? That's true.
There's no drama. I don't like drama, baby llama. No, not at all. Not
that's
true.
That's a good phrase.
What?
I like that.
He's happy. I'm happy. It's all good. Let's be happy.
Yeah, I agree. And he's all good with Stacey?
I don't really know anything about that, because obviously when we go in, we're just really literally just going crazy. All the routines. We're doing about 3 to 17 routines a day.
Right. Okay. So you're not sitting down and chatting.
You know what? He looks extremely happy. So I'm happy that he's happy.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us, Karen. That's really awesome of
worries.
You. And
best
of luck.
And are you going to do Strictly?
Oh my God, the dream! I've been in the audience quite a few times.
Come on, baby.
Oh
I'm
my God,
for
I just need to. I just need to get in contact with the casting people, and boom, I'm there. I'm there for next year.
Right.
They do get DJs in sometimes, don't they? So you never know. Definitely, please come into the studio sometime. That'd be great if you've got time.
I'd love to, definitely.
Over the next few months. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye, Karen.
Bye.
What a lovely lady. And I genuinely do think working with your ex like that must be horrendous. But she clearly does not find it quite so troublesome. So good on her. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I'm going to play out my last song. It's Madonna's Jump, because I've become really obsessed with it for some reason, even though it's about 15 years old. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.